Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. The Old Testament book of Jeremiah and chapter number 18. Jeremiah and chapter number 18. Jeremiah has been preaching for a while. God has been using him. And now God takes Jeremiah aside to show him once again an object lesson. One of the unique things that you see in the book of Jeremiah is that over and over and over, you could see physical signs that are being used as object lessons to teach a lesson, to teach a truth to the rest of Israel. Through the book of Jeremiah, we've already seen the sign of the yoke. And it was Jeremiah's most famous message that he still, every once in a while, took that yoke and he traveled all around with that message that to submit yourself under God's biblical authority. We had the sign of the unmarried prophet dealing with the idea that Jeremiah was told not to marry because of him believing that judgment was right around the corner, and he didn't want to see his wife go through that. There's many other object lessons. In Sunday morning, we'll see a continuation of tonight's message into another object lesson. And once again, in Jeremiah chapter number 18, God takes Jeremiah by the hand, and he shows him and points out and teaches a message using physical objects. So notice with me in the book of Jeremiah chapter number 18. The book of Jeremiah chapter 18, and notice with me in verse number 1. Jeremiah 18 in verse 1, the Bible says this: "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Jeremiah chapter 18? Jeremiah chapter 18, and notice with me in verse number 4, notice the phrase, "So he made it again." So he made it again. And with the Lord's help, I'd like to preach a message with a different title: Broken and Remade. Broken and Remade. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And we're excited to see the answers to prayer that you've been having lately. The big answer to prayer that we just saw accomplished. Oh, it's amazing to watch you work, and you are an amazing God. And that we know that you have an interest and a desire to work in every single one of us tonight. And as we come to you, I know that the best thing for me is to get out of the way, to let you do your own work, to let you use your word, let the preaching go forth, and that you would work on people's hearts. Let us be surrendered into the potter's hand tonight. Again, I'm asking that you would work, that you would have free course, that we would just be surrendered as the clay in the potter's hands. Do something amazing. Fill me with your spirit. And I love you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, Jeremiah is brought by the Lord to the potter's house. Now, he sees in the potter's house a potter that is working on a piece of clay. Now, this clay is on side of a wheel that goes around and around, and his hands are on it, and the potter's hands are putting pressure on it, making a certain object, to make a vase, to make a vessel of some sort. And the potter is working, and Jeremiah is told to watch it for a while. And then God says, that's me. I'm the potter. And I want those people who are my people to be the clay. And allow the potter to have free rein to make that vessel and to whatever he desires to make. And while he's watching, he watches as the potter has his hand on the clay and it's marred. That word marred has the idea of ruin, that it falls apart, that it's broken. And so as he's got the clay going on, that the potter has his hands going, and all of a sudden the clay kind of falls over, lumps. And you know what the potter does is he doesn't throw it away, but what he does is he packs it back in and makes something else with it. And that the potter has full control of everything that is going on inside of that clay. And so if you don't mind, as we walk through this here, I want to try to explain a little bit more about what God is doing. What is this object lesson? This is one of the most famous messages, popular message to preach on, because it deals with us surrendering to God and allowing the potter to figure out, to determine what is right in our life, what is good in our life. Now, for clay, it has to be moldable. That means it has to be moist. Once it begins to be dry, it starts to fall apart in the potter's hands, and then it's cast away. Paul's greatest fear was that he would be a castaway. He says, I don't want to be cast away. I want to be able to stay in the potter's wheel. I want the potter to always work on me. I never want to get to the place where the potter says, I can't use this, and set it aside. That was Paul's biggest fear. He says, I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to be set aside. I don't want to be discarded. I don't want to be thrown away and said, I can't use this. And so this is a type of message that is talking about keeping ourselves surrendered, humbled into something that God can make and put on his trophy case. Something that God could make and say, this is something I made. This is something I want to use. This is something that is usable by me. This is the type of vessel that I wanted. We want to be something that is put on display, something that is useful in the hands of the potter, rather than in something that's thrown away and discarded, never to be used, junked. Now, as we walk through here, we see that there is a couple different things that's observable. The very first thing we want to observe on here is the potter. Is the potter. That we know that God gives the direct interpretation. In verse 6, he says, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so ye are in my hand, O house of Israel. And so as we walk in, we watch there's a potter that is working with the clay. We understand that the direct interpretation from God himself is that the potter is God. That God is working. He is the divine power. Hold your finger here. Let me show you something in the New Testament to be an encouragement to you about what the potter's plans are. Notice in the book of Philippians in the New Testament. In the book of Philippians, we see a very important verse that if you've never had marked, most of you may have it marked, maybe most of you have it memorized, but if not, I want you to make sure that you have this verse, because this is a go-to verse. When the pressure is on, when it sometimes get dark and you say, what is God doing? Let me show you a promise that God has in the book of Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and notice with me, if you don't mind, Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6. Philippians 1, 6. Paul is preaching under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, being confident of this very thing, that he, that's God, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. You understand that when you came to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that was not the end of the journey. That's the beginning of the journey. And that God, after you came to know Jesus, your Savior, has a plan for your life. He has a desire for your life. And that God will perform it. He is going to continue to work on you as long as you allow him to, until he's finished with it when you go to heaven. He has a plan for all of your life. So when you start getting to the place where you say, Lord, what are you doing? have this very confidence of what he said, being confident of this very thing, of this fact here, that he, that's God, which hath begun a good work, that means at salvation he began a good work, he will continue, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That the potter has a plan, and he's going to continue to work. He's going to continue to move. Let me tell you that God has a plan, he has a purpose, and he has a pattern for your life. A plan, a purpose, and a pattern for your life. When you're on that potter's wheel, and the potter has his hands on you, there's something that he has in mind for this vessel. I have something I want to get accomplished, the potter says. I have an image in my mind of what I want this vessel to become. There is a purpose. This is how I'm going to get it done. I've got a plan for this. And everyone who's accepted Jesus as your Savior, God has a purpose, he has a plan, and he has a pattern for you. Be confident of this very thing, that he that which began a good work in you will perform it even unto the day of Jesus Christ. So let me just start off with that encouragement, that as long as you're surrendered to God, as long as you stay surrendered and he hasn't cast you away, he has a purpose for you. And he's going to continue to work on you and to mold you and to make you as long as you allow him to, until he calls you home. Be confident of this very thing. So let's look. Knowing that God has got a plan and he's going to continue to work, let's go back and understand what he's working. That the potter, he's got a plan. He's working. By the way, as he's working with the clay, this is why Romans 8:28 comes into view. That it says in Romans chapter 8:28, it says that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called to his purpose. You know, not all things may seem good, but all of it has good purpose. God has a desire. He's putting it together. He knows what he's doing. And he's putting things in your life to work together for good. He knows exactly how to make a vessel. He knows exactly what he is doing. And God is forming in each of us the vessel that he wants us to be as an individual. You understand that if you're surrendered to God, God is controlling everything you do. For example, if you're surrendered to God, you are not in this church right now for this meeting by accident. God has you here for a reason. God has you where you're living there for a reason if you're surrendered to God. That God has a purpose for it. He has a plan. He knows what he's doing. He knows what you need when you need it. And as you're surrendered to him, he will put you at the right place at the right time. You may not understand. You may not know what he's doing. But he knows exactly what he's doing. For those of you who are members of this church, God did not put me here by accident. Didn't put you here by accident. He has a reason for it. You may not know what it is now, but he does. He's got a purpose for it. Can you trust the master? Can you trust the potter? Can you surrender to him and say, all right, I will trust to know what you're doing. But the potter knows what he's doing. And so we walk in and the first thing we see is the potter with his hands on the clay. Which brings us to the second thing. Not only do we see the potter, but we see the clay. The clay. Now, back then, they didn't go to grocery stores or specialty stores to get clay. What they did is they went outside. Many of the clay that they got was ordinary stuff. And that's what clay is. Common, ordinary stuff. That's all clay is. You understand that there is no inherent value or beauty inside of clay. If you took a bunch of dirt that was clay-like, I don't know how the soil is up here yet, but where I'm from, we got clay all the time. That was cheap Play-Doh. You'd go outside and get a bunch of clay, and you could mold it and make it and do all kinds of stuff with it. But there was no inherent beauty. I didn't go up to mom and say, all right, mom, here, I went to the creek. Here's a bunch of clay. Here you go. It didn't have any inherent beauty or value of itself. But the only beauty, the only value that that clay had was when it was in the potter's hands. We are just made of the dust of the earth. We're clay. We are common, ordinary stuff. There is no value in us unless we're in the potter's hands. if we're surrendered to Jesus, we're worth something. If we're not surrendered to Jesus, I'm going to tell you a very sincere, harsh truth. Your life doesn't have much value. Let me give you an illustration. Let's say that there's a baseball bat laying right there. A baseball bat that's laying on the ground has no value whatsoever. It could do nothing but sit there. You put a baseball bat in my hand, it still doesn't have much value. Not to play in against the big leagues. You know, I'm not going to go up to a professional team and say, oh, my turn. I'm not going to be a good help. But if you put it in the hands of someone who hits home runs all the time, now it has value. You understand that the clay is ordinary stuff. But inside of the potter's hands, and the potter has something he's going to make out of that vessel. Something of value. Something as it's surrendered, it's going to be used. You understand that God will take anyone at any time and any place, and he can make them a valuable instrument. He could take anybody. He could take a shoe salesman and turn them to something for God. He could take someone who has speech problems and turn them into a great deliverer. He could take someone who is useless and worthless to the world, and he could use it to make a vessel that is great because of the master's hands. That's the wonderful thing, is that our value is on what God is doing and working with us. Now, if you've ever worked with clay, you understand that clay has to be separated from the common lump. This happens when a person is surrendered to God, said, all right, God, you use me however you see fit. You understand there's many people who may be saved that are not surrendered. They never came to the place where they said, God, you have permission to do whatever you want in my life. I surrender all. I give it to you, God. You do whatever you see fit. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I'll go wherever you tell me to do. You're the boss. Just use me. Amen. But when you do that, oh, you get separated from the common lump. And now it begins to work as the clay surrenders itself to God, that God does not immediately begin to work on the vessel. But what he does is he begins to work on the clay. This is the period where people start quitting. This is where the people get off the wheel. Remember what I said, you don't get the Play-Doh in those days from Walmart or from the grocery store. You got it from the ground. And so what you had to do is that you had to work with it. You couldn't just start making a vessel with it right away, but you had to start kneading it. You had to start pounding it. You know, you'd start rolling it into little balls or into long pieces. And then you would fold it over again and start working on it. And you know what's happening? Is that they're making the clay pliable. They're making it so it's usable, so it's soft, so it's moldable in the potter's hands. Before he could even make a vessel, God has to work on that us. He has to work on us. Before he can make us into something, he has to knead us out. Remember that clay that's pulled out from the common lump? It has rocks and straw and leaves, and it has to be pulled out of it before it can be usable. You don't want that stuff into a mug to be used later. So it has to be worked on. It has to make it pliable. But he's also pulling out the foreign bodies. He's pulling out the rocks and the lumps. He's pulling out all this stuff that would keep it from being a useful vessel. You know, remember when you took that Play-Doh, that clay, and you begin to roll it around and move it, and you know what you're doing. You're trying to make it usable, and you're pounding it out. Think if the clay could talk and say, what in the world are you doing, man? I mean, you've rolled me up 5 times now, and then you smashed me and folded me over and pounded me again. What are you doing? That's part of being surrendered, is that God has to do that period. People don't realize this. And so they surrender to God and say, God, use me. And then when things don't work out right away, they get off the wheel and say, ah, forget it. Take a young preacher boy who says, all right, God, I surrender. You called me to preach. You use me however you see fit. He almost has in mind the next time he preaches a message that so many people will be coming out the door that they're going to have to call traffic police, and they're going to have to help guard people in, and the invitations up there, people are going to be crawling all over. But it doesn't quite work that way. that God has to work on that vessel. And he has to work on it and move on it. And it takes a while before it's finally pliable. But this is where the period where people jump off the wheel. I don't understand what he's doing. Things seem to be getting worse and not better. God's moving. He's pounding. He's working. He's rolling you up. And you don't may not understand what's going on. But can you trust the master? Can you trust the potter? Can you trust him that he knows what he's doing? And just stay on the wheel. Stay on the wheel. Stay on the wheel. Allow him to be surrendered. You surrender yourself and say, God, whatever it takes. Oh, if it has to get worse before it gets better, I'm trusting that you know what you're doing. Oh, that you know what you're doing. You just let God move. You let him make you pliable. And if it takes some pounding and it may hurt to pound, what are you doing? He knows what he's doing. When he starts rolling you up and he says, what are you doing? It just seems like my whole thing, I'm just spinning. What's going on? God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. Don't get impatient because you're not immediately a vessel. It takes time to make you pliable, to get all the stuff out, so that way he can use you and have no problems with it. We understand that the clay here has to work. The potter is moving on the clay. The clay has to stay surrendered. It has to stay on the wheel. It has to be able to trust that the potter knows what it's doing and not fight against it. We see the potter. We could see the clay. There's something else that we need to be aware of as we watch. We watch the vessel. We watch the vessel. As the clay is now being molded, as the clay is now pliable, what happens is that the potter begins to mold and shape the vessel. Now, the outside of the vessel is formed very quickly, but it's the inside of the vessel that takes time. You know, you can make a coffee cup-shaped thing very easily on the outside. It's working on the inside that takes the most time. It's the inside that has to have all that work into it. It's the inside of the vessel that makes it valuable. For example, many of you are coffee drinkers. How would you like to have a cup that looks good on the outside, but on the inside it's not even glazed over. It still has the lead and the minerals still available. Well, it's not very useful at all. You could have something that looks very pretty on the inside, but if it's all cracked and dried and chipping in the inside, well, then it's not, you don't want to drink coffee out of that. You don't want to keep your, it's not a very valuable if the inside is not done correctly. And so it's the inside that takes time. The vessel is made for carrying something. If the inside is not right, it is useless. And so what happens is that you have to work on the inside of it. God works on the inside. And by the way, any one of us can change the outside. You can get someone to dress right, look right, talk right, but their heart could be so wicked and so far away from God. This is where many people make the mistake, is they get the outside so it looks good, but they don't allow God to work on the inside. But when you get the inside right, it will be reflected on the outside as well. Let God work on the inside. Work on those feelings. Work on that bitterness. Work on the hatred. Work on the secret sins that no one else knows about. Maybe secret sins that you don't even know about. But the potter takes time to work on the inside, to make the inside the useful vessel. That is the useful part. And that takes time to make the insides right. And so we watch as the potter is moving. And as the potter is moving, he's got the clay and he's working on the clay and he's making it moldable. He's making it useful. We watch as the clay is finally moldable, that he begins to work on the clay. And as he works on the clay, we could see that he takes a lot of time to work on the inside, not just the outside, but the inside, because that's going to be where the value's at. That's where the usefulness, the value of it is in the inside of it. But as you look at this, as Jeremiah has taken time to look inside of this vessel and he's watching God work, notice something else. If you don't mind, notice in verse 3. Then I went down to the potter's house and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. oftentimes you don't notice the wheel, but the wheel is in motion. That underneath the wheel is what would be a treadle. Some of you who know old-fashioned sewing machines, you know what a treadle is. But this is something that would make the wheel go faster or slower, make it turn one direction or another. And it's being controlled by the potter's feet. It's underneath. No one can see what's going on, but it's controlling the wheel. If we're going to apply this to this illustration, what is this wheel? It's circumstances in life. That God is controlling the circumstances of life. He knows what it takes to make that vessel pliable. He knows what it takes to get that right shape that he wants out of that vessel. And so he knows how to control events to make them go faster or slower, this way or not. God is in control of all the circumstances. God knows what it takes and what is needed inside of our life to make us the vessel that we ought to be. That God controls that. And the whole time, what is the potter thinking as he's controlling the wheel? As he's controlling it, what is his purpose? Everything is done for the perfection of the vessel. Everything that the wheel is doing is for the purpose of perfecting that vessel. You understand that sometimes the worst things that could ever happen to us can turn to be the greatest things that ever happened to us. If it draws us closer to Christ. The Bible phrase used for that is called treasures in darkness. That the worst things that could ever happen to us can turn to be the greatest things that happen to us. Because it brings us closer to God. It makes us more into the vessel that we ought to be. And that God is controlling the treadle. He's controlling the wheel. And that wheel is the circumstances of life. That God is doing it for the perfection of you. That you say, why did God allow this to happen? He's trying to make something out of you. If you're a surrender to God, nothing happens to you by accident. Everything is purposeful in the potter's hands. And he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He knows what is necessary to get the exact vessel he wants out of the clay. He knows what it is to get the purpose. As we go through here, we've watched and we've sat with Jeremiah and we saw the potter. We've seen the clay be pulled out and moved and made pliable until finally it's ready to be made a vessel. And we watch as that vessel's being concentrated on the inside of the vessel. We watch the wheel go around and we understand the wheel is being used, the circumstances to perfect that vessel. But there's something else, and where I want to end up on is the marring of the the marring in the hand of the potter. The marring in the hand of the potter. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse 4 again. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So what happened is the vessel is being used, that the potter has his hands on that vessel. And as it's going around, that the naked eye may not see that there's an imperfection, that there's a hard spot in the clay, but the potter feels it. He knows where the hard parts are. And so as it's going around, if he can't get that hard spot pliable, then what he'll do is he'll allow that vessel to collapse in itself, and then he'll remake it once again. Notice again in verse 4, and the vessel that he made of the clay was marred. Notice this, in the hand of the potter. It didn't say it was marred by the hand of the potter. It was marred in the hand of the potter. What does that mean? That there was some part of the vessel that would not surrender, that would not come out, that would not allow itself to be pliable. And so God allowed, he kept control of it. He knew it was going to happen. He knew that that thing was going to fall apart, but he kept his hands on it. It didn't fly off. He kept it in his hands. But because it wouldn't surrender, there's just that one spot that wouldn't come out. He allowed that thing to collapse in itself. But he didn't throw it away. Notice again in verse 4. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again. Another vessel. As seemed good to the potter to make it. That the potter anticipated the marring. And he kept it so it wouldn't fling off. He kept it close that when it was marred, it wouldn't be lost. And it was marred because of that hard spot that no one else may have ever seen it. But the potter could feel it. He could say, there's a hard spot here that wouldn't surrender. This hard spot here that just wouldn't soften. So what I have to do is allow that vessel to melt down, to collapse in itself. But then he takes it and makes it and says, I know what I'm going to do with it. And he gets that hard spot out and he makes the clay and he makes it into another vessel. You understand that sometimes as we're on the potter's wheel, we're not as surrendered as we ought to be. And there's just that one hard spot that we just won't let go. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's just unsubmissiveness, unsurrenderedness. It's something that maybe no one else can see, but God knows it's there. And so he puts on the pressure. He's trying to get that hard spot out. And if that hard spot doesn't come out, then he says, all right, fine. And he allows that vessel to melt down. But he says, I'm doing it for the good because I want a vessel that's right. I want a vessel that has everything it wants. I want a vessel that has no impurities. I'm going to remake it once it's marred. You understand that for this making process, there is a time that we're broken but then remade. God knows what it takes to get that hard spot out of us. That hard spot that all the rest of us have surrendered, but that one spot, that unforgiveness, that unsubmissiveness, maybe that one spot that you don't even realize is in yourself, that God knows what it takes to get that vessel to be what he wants it to be. The good thing is that if it's marred, he didn't cast it away. He says, I still got plans for it. Isn't that a great comfort? That as God is working and moving, he's trying to make it to the perfect vessel. He wants to make it so it is usable. And that just, he's keeping the pressure on until it is finally yielded. Oh, it's amazing what the potter can do with a piece of clay that's surrendered in his arms. Surrendered in his hands. It's amazing what type of vessel that God can make. If you stay on the wheel and don't quit and allow God, trust God that he knows what he's doing. Can you trust the potter? Can you stay on the wheel? As we come here tonight, maybe the first thing you need to do, get settled, is are you 100% sure that you've died today? Are you 100% sure you'd be going to heaven? You see, that's the first part. Until that part, he can't start doing a good work into you that he's going to finish until that day. He's going to continue to work on it. That has to be settled. Second thing is, are you surrendered? There are some people who are saved, but they're not surrendered. They never came to the place that said, God, whatever you would have me to do, I surrender it all. I give it to you, whatever you'd have me to do, whatever you want me to say, wherever you want me to go, I'll do that. Some people need to come to the place. By the way, that's not by accident. You don't accidentally do that. That is a purposeful time where you make a decision. I surrender all. Once you do surrender, understand there's a period of God molding you, making you pliable. And you may not understand what God is doing, but God does. Can you trust him? And then as God is molding you and making you, he's working on the inside. Can you allow him to work on the inside? Can you understand that God may see something in you that you may not see in yourself? Can you trust that the potter knows what he's doing and allow him to do his work? Some of you may need to decide tonight, help me to stay on the wheel. Maybe you feel like quitting. Maybe you say, I want to back off. Maybe I just, this isn't what I asked for. Maybe some of you need to stay on the wheel. And say, God, I need to stay on the wheel tonight. I'm going to trust that you know what you're doing. And I just surrender myself to the potter. And let God do an amazing work. God can use anyone. You may think that you're the most worthless lump there's ever existed. If you surrender to the potter, he can make something wonderful out of you. It doesn't matter how useless you think you are, how inability you are. Let me tell you, Everyone is useless outside of the potter's hands. Can you allow the potter to make out of you something amazing? Think something that you couldn't even see in yourself. Can you allow him to do that? Stay on the wheel. Stay on the wheel. Stay on the wheel. God knows what he's doing. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.